Turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles. We'll start with Isaiah chapter 54, verses 9 and 10. And it was interesting because this is my, I don't mind standing in and preaching once in a while, but this is my last sermon here as far as fulfilling the duties within the pulpit committee. We've got our pastor coming on Tuesday night, and everybody's all happy and smiling. So we're going to start with Isaiah 54, verses 9 and 10, and I'm just going to go through this quickly. You know, I was remembering our church, and remembering, you know, just like Brother Fred talked about this morning, and all the stuff we've had to go through over the last year and a half. You know, there was times where it was like, oh boy, I don't know if this is going to work or not. I don't know if we're going to make it through or not. But I understand one thing, that God has a plan. And I understand that God has been faithful. And that's what the message about today is God's faithfulness. And number one here, if you look at Isaiah chapter 54, verses 9 and 10, it says, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." You know, so the first point here is God is faithful in His kindness to us. You know, God's been kind to us over the last year and a half. And longer, but since 3 years. Okay, I keep saying a year and a half because I know I've been here almost a year and a half. God has is faithful in His kindness. He's been faithful to us in His kindness in this church. What's interesting to notice here is that God does not hold a grudge. Isn't that great? That's great news, because God does not hold a grudge. Now, I hold a grudge. I hold a grudge, especially towards food. And don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Every single one of you hold grudges against food. You know, either it's not hot enough, right? Or I'll never go back to that restaurant. They serve cold food, right? Or I'll never go back over there. It had something weird. It's like they dropped it on the floor. It had some hair in it or something. I'm not going to eat back there. It's funny, when you talk about food and eating out, you hold a grudge. But God doesn't hold a grudge. You know, that's what He said right here. He says, "I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee." He's not going to, God is so kind to me that He says, "I'm not going to be angry with you all the time. You mess up every day. You do stuff that perturbs me and upsets me. But guess what? I forgive you." Yeah. That's what I've learned through many beatings, how to respond to my wife. Right? "It's okay, honey. I forgive you." That, or I just get, you know. Right? That's why I wear long sleeves to cover up all the bruises. God does not hold a grudge. Notice here is that God says, "Hey, I'm going to bring peace into your life. You want to have true peace, lasting peace in your life? Make God the centerpiece in your home, in your spiritual home. Make God number one priority." Right? I know, y'all looking at me like, "Well, we already do that. Move quickly on, please." Notice here, though, is that He says that His mercy endures forever. Towards the end, He says, "Saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." I have nothing if I don't have grace and mercy. And I only receive grace and mercy because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I place my trust. God said, basically, I'm promising you eternal life if you place your trust in me. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe what he did for me, the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did that, and God said, you're righteous. That's as easy, it's as simple as that. Because understand, on my part, there's no power within me to do it on my own. It was a divine act of God at that rebirth. That's all of God. But understand is that His mercy endures forever. Mercy is not giving me something that I deserve. Like a whipping. Right? I deserve a lot worse than what I'm getting. Yeah. The way I carry on, the way I cry, just like earlier, crying about how I hurt, crying about how hard I got to work, crying about this, crying about that. Notice, God is faithful in His work, though, too. Turn over to Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. He is faithful in His work. We've seen at New Testament Baptist Church how God has been faithful to His work here. You know, it is God's intent. It's God's intent. My wife's looking at me funny. I'm trying to make sure I don't mess this up. She wrote these notes out for me, so I'm just kidding you. It's God's intent that all of Craig and all of Prince of Wales Island come to know Him. You realize that? That's why God put this church here. He used Brother Ensley to bring the gospel here and to establish God's work. What a legacy. We're here because of a sacrificial work of a man. He had a heart for people. But notice, God is faithful in His work. We were not abandoned, were we? Look at Joshua 23:14. It says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." You know, we did not go financially under. There was a time where there was a few things where we thought, oh, the things could just explode internally here, but it didn't, by the grace of God, right? And by God's faithfulness to His work. You'll notice here in that verse in Joshua that God says He's not going to fail you. Everybody else has the tendency to fail you. Other human beings, with all good intentions, will fail you. Systems will fail you. Let's look at our government. Right? They have failed to understand that man is born with certain inalienable rights that are divinely given to him. The creation of a human being, the conception of a human being, I believe that God is in that. So that's why we hold that abortion is terrible. Right? Because God gives us children are to be, God says they are a blessing to us. I'm waiting for my return on my investment, my ROI. Right? But, you know, and not only that, but we don't believe in sacrificing our babies. Think about it in that sense. In a way it is. We're sacrificing our babies for the selfish wants and wills of whatever we want. Right? Okay, enough of the politics. I know. You guys are starting to look at me all meanly looking. But God will not fail you. God will complete His work. Genesis 28:15 says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." You know why this church is here? It's because God is continuing His work. That's why this church is still here. God wants to include me, though. Notice, God wants to include me in His work. Right? He wants to include me. Notice it says on the last part of Joshua 23:14, all are come to pass, you know, unto you. You know what I, and maybe that's a little off a little bit, but what I felt God was saying to me was, I've got a plan for you, and I've got a plan for New Testament, or not New Testament, that's my old church, I apologize. New Hope Baptist Church, did I say that earlier, New Testament? That's why she's looking at me funny, I apologize. Because I wrote down NHBC, and I think New Testament Baptist Church, it was NTBC, so I apologize. But anyway, so New Hope Baptist Church, right? You know, God wants to include me in His work. That's why God's allowed me to come up here, and you poor folks have to listen to me one last time. By the way, I'm looking over here at Winston. Winston did an awesome job last week. Very simple and pointed. And that's I can always tell people who are highly educated. They always know how to speak better than I do. I sit there and fumble around, slop through everything like, you know, trying to eat, you know, biscuits and gravy, right? Yeah, just a mess, you know? All right. So the thing is that Winston was a huge blessing. But see, Winston was able to partake in this work that's here. You know, I'm excited. I don't want us to misunderstand that this is kind of the end, and we can just kind of relax, so to speak. Get your minds and your hearts set and ready to go to get put back into gear. You've got a young pastor. A young pastor who is going to come in here, and God's going to lay on his heart certain ministries that He's going to want you to be involved in. And I would highly encourage you to be involved in ministries of the local church, because you're going to receive a blessing from that. You're going to receive a blessing. And I'm here to tell you that God puts members in the church as He sees fit. So you're not here by accident. That's what we're praying for our neighbors. They're starting to look at us crossways, you know, like this. And I've been praying, God, just keep them here. Just keep them here. They're good neighbors, and I like hanging out with them, too. I mean, they sat there in amazement and watched me eat that thing. And they still were just nice to me, you know. Instead of going, my goodness gracious, no wonder he has to wear bib overalls and big old fat guy shirts. Ah. Anyway, but isn't God good? Because he wants to include me in His work here. Number three, I actually am going to be done here pretty close to being on time. God is faithful in my moments of unbelief. I look back and I remember, you know, there were certain times where I thought, hey, God, I don't think Pastor's coming. Got our hopes up with Pastor Matthew, and, you know, I was like, yeah, this is going to go good. Yeah. And God said, no. And I believe that when the majority of a church is where there's a unanimous vote, that it is the will of God. It was the will of God, the will of God that we have a pastor like that try to come here. God just said, that's not the right guy for you. You know, he got a different preacher, a younger one. One that is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But I love our pastor already, because He is kind, and he is a good man, and he's gonna take care of you. But he's gonna hold to God's word, right? But you know, there's been many times where I thought, this just isn't gonna happen. There's many times where I did not believe enough. I was praying, but notice here is you know, it says here, if you want to turn there, 2 Timothy 2, 13 through 19, it says here, if we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture that I take people who are struggling with their assurance of salvation. This is just one of the spots. The other spot is 1 John 5, chapter 5. I take them there. Right? But this is one of my favorites because it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, first of all, God cannot deny himself ever. You know, there's power in that. What God says, God's judgments, what God has to say to me is absolute truth. Absolute truth. And when the Bible says that God cannot deny himself, you know, that basically says God is the creator of all things. God's in control of all things. Notice here, I'm going to be done on time. Boy, I'm burning through this pretty fast. The foundation of God standeth sure. You know what that foundation is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. But that is a sure foundation. You want to have a superstructure of a life? Use Christ as your foundation. It's a sure thing. You can't put anything better in place of that foundation in your life. You can't put money in there. Because I know there's more month than there is money most of the time. Yeah. You can't use a foundation of money. Can't use a foundation of people. You know, some people identify. I've got one relative that when you go over to their house, all they talk about is who they know. And to me, that was like, well, that's how they identify themselves, as to who they know. Oh, you know, I know President Trump personally. No, I don't know him personally. But, you know, you meet people like that, right? Well, you know, I got to hang out with, you know, so-and-so, you know, and, oh, they're stinking rich, you know. And they're my buddies. Right? I mean, that's just how some people are. That's who they associate with. You know, relationships. You know, some people try to find security and build their foundation in relationships. You know, that's not the way to do it. I'm talking about young men and young women, right? That's the only kind of relationship sanctioned by God through marriage, right, to procreate. That's the only way you can procreate. No other relationships out there that allow you to do that. All right. Okay. That's a little bit of politics in there for you. I might as well get my last shot in there, right? The most important thing is you got to have the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have Him as that foundation. And notice here is that we are, as believers, are sealed. If you're a believer and does not believe in Him, there's a God. We're talking about born again. Right? That moment where Christ said, "Hey, I'm covering you with my blood and with my body." Right? And you are now mine. The Bible tells us that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So what that tells me is at the moment of birth, spiritual birth, Holy Spirit came and set up house. Come in and unpacked His bags. He's here permanently. He indwells in me permanently. He is a permanent seal. The honest truth is why I wear long sleeves most of the time is because I got a few tattoos. And guess what? They're permanent. Yeah. You want to see them? Just come on over on a Friday night, right? No. I'll be in my jammies and my t-shirt. But hey, they're permanent. Just like you as a believer, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, it's permanent. God sees that seal that identifies you as His. Just like there's certain traits of itchy and scratchy over there. You take one look at them and go, "Yeah, those are dills. Yeah. Kind of homely looking." That's why we've told them you can't get married till you're 30. Right? Because we're hoping that they kind of grow out of some of that homeliness, right? Yeah. That, or you got to be real rich. You're going to be ugly, you got to have a lot of money. Right? I my wife said, "That guy needs a lot of help. I'm going to help him." I told great jokes. That's what I did. I told great jokes. That reminds me. Well, I hope I say this one right. You hear about the guy who, what do you call a guy who refuses to get stitches? Or what do you say to a guy who refuses to get stitches? Suit yourself. Right? What was the other one I had the other day? Okay. All right. Okay, so that's why, see, she's over there giggling and laughing. She's like, "Look at my dumb, fat husband over there." Anyway, yeah, that's right. Okay, so anyway, understand, though, that you're sealed. Now, that goes both ways, doesn't it? What that tells me is that God knows who I am. But guess what? That means I've got to act a certain way, though. I got to be a certain way. I think it's very interesting is that as a believer, your body, your soul, your mind, your heart does not belong to you. It belongs to God. By the way, that's why in James, when he talks about a man being double-minded, that's the only people who can be double-minded is Christians. Yeah. Why? Because you're battling the flesh, aren't you? And the flesh goes, "Well, I want to go do this." God says, "I want you to go do that." "Yeah, but I want to do that, God." God says, "I don't care. You're going to do it like this." "Well, I'm going to do my own thing, God." "Okay, well, suit yourself." Right? Yeah. Suit yourself. God says, "I hope you make the wise decision." What's funny is, though, is God says, "I'll be right here. When you get done being an idiot, I'll still be here." I learned that from Easter. Remember when Mary Magdalene was beside herself? And she turned around, and who was standing there behind her? The Savior. He was there all along.
until God's been with New Hope Baptist Church all along. All along. And we've got a pastor now. It's completing us. Now we've got to get ready for the real one. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness unto us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand, Lord, that you've still got a lot of big things for us to do for you here. I pray that you'd be with our pastor and his wife and his children as they're traveling. I pray that you'd heal their bodies, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the trip would be safe and good for them, Lord. And I'm betting you by now they're ready to come home. And I just pray, Lord, that we finish up all these little details before they come. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless us, Lord, and continue to grow us and stretch us in our faith. Be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.